The question today is, what sin can a person commit against the Holy Spirit? I know there's many times people read about sins of the Holy Spirit, and the devil tries to make you think you don't have any hope because you've committed sins of which there is no hope if you commit that sin. So I want us to discuss this question, what sin can a person commit against the Holy Spirit? Now, most preachers list five sins against the Holy Spirit, but I want to list six sins that's mentioned in the Bible. And so I'll give you that list now, and even though this is only part one, we'll be dealing some more with this question. There's no way to get through with this exhaustive question in just a one-time few minutes so here on the radio broadcast. So the lost can commit two sins against the Holy Spirit. And that's blasphemy, and they can resist the Holy Spirit. And while the saved man can commit the last four of this list, they can grieve the Holy Spirit, they can quench the Holy Spirit, they can tempt the Holy Spirit, and do despite to the Holy Spirit. That's mentioned in the Bible. And in a sense, I think that possibly we can say a person can resist the Holy Spirit's leading and working in his life after he's saved. But they're pretty well covered under the last four: grieve, quench, tempt, and despite. So I want to deal in this part, I want at least start dealing in this part, on blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. That's the sin a person can commit against the Holy Ghost. Now, that's probably the one you've heard more about than anyone else, and yet it's probably the most misunderstood sin in the Bible. Now, first, we must know what it is. What is the sin of blasphemy? Well, the word blasphemy in Webster's dictionary is defined as any remark or action held to be irreverent or disrespectful. It means to speak irreverently or profanely or unto God. In other words, about God or unto God. In the Greek dictionary, the word is practically confined to speech defaming the divine majesty, defamatory. I can't even pronounce some of these words sometimes, but it's defined in Webster's as means to attack or injure the reputation or honor of by false and malicious statements. It means slanderous. Well, it's translated, as far as the root word, the Greek word is translated, blasphemy many times in the New Testament, but that same root word, the Greek word, is also translated, one, evil speaking. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So blasphemy is the same Greek word there for evil speaking. It's also translated railings. 1 Timothy 6:4 said, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. That's blasphemy. 2 Peter 2:11, 10 and 11 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Even angels won't even bring railing accusation of what some so-called false, they're prophets, but they're false prophets, preachers, if you please, that bring against them. Folks, we're no match for the devil, but that's the angels won't even bring those blasphemous accusations against them, railing accusation. Jude 9 said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Railing means to speak bitterly and reproachfully. So blasphemy falls under that category. It's also translated, speak evil. Romans 14:16, he said, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Same word as blasphemy. 1 Peter 4:4 said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So it's translated they're speaking evil or evil spoken of. 1 Peter 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Jude 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Same word. Jude 10. But these speak evil, same word, of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. It's also translated slanderously reported. Romans 3:8, he says, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Paul there, as he's writing, he's talking about being slanderously reported or spoken reproachfully about, blasphemy. Also, as we think about this sin, we've defined it as far as Webster's, as the Greek dictionary, and what it's translated. But what does the Bible speak, or what does it say about this sin? It speaks of it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. I'm talking about the sin a person can commit against the Holy Spirit, which was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And by the way, Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost is the same translation of the same Greek words in the New Testament. So it's all right to use either one of them. But the Bible speaks of it in Matthew 12, 31 and 32. He said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now this shows that speaking against God is blasphemy. And you notice he said all sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Paul spoke against Christ, therefore he was speaking against God. But he said he did it ignorantly, and God had mercy on him. 1 Timothy 1:13, he speaks of himself. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, Paul didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, or he would have never had mercy from God and never been saved on the street called straight after being convicted those 3 days there after meeting the Lord on the Damascus Road. And so, therefore, the Bible says those things about that. Now, well, what is blasphemy? Let's look at what is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. What is that? What does it consist of? And you see, it's referred to as an unpardonable sin. At least that's what men refer to it. Matthew 12:32 said, and this is where it comes from, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, in other words, it is unpardonable. There's no pardon for the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And by the way, this is not rejecting the Holy Spirit's drawing and wooing you to salvation, nor is it rejecting the light that He gives you. Because every person has done that. You've rejected that. Acts 7:51, Stephen telling those that were there questioning him that day, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." And in simple terms, blasphemy is just giving the devil credit for something the Holy Spirit has produced in His presence and doing it with your heart, all your heart, willfully. Well, we'll talk more about that in a little later. But how can this sin be committed? Well, look what occurred in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 30. I'll not read all that scripture. I'll just read portions of that. But here it said there had just been a demonstration of divine power. And everything the Lord did, every miracle He performed, He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here in chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 22, then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. I'm glad there's no halfways with God. He does it. He takes care of it all. The Lord had just performed this miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 12, verse 28, He said, He made this statement, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Therefore, the Holy Spirit was present and power was demonstrated in as these men, these Pharisees, were here. And these Pharisees said Jesus had performed this miracle by Beelzebub, who's the devil. Matthew 12:24, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils.'" In other words, they gave the devil credit for a miracle that was produced by Holy Ghost power. Also, they were in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, if they did this with their heart willfully, then they were guilty of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, and there would never be a chance for them ever to be saved. Now, I don't know exactly what transpired, but I'm saying if they did that. But it takes more than a thought to commit this sin. It takes an action of the heart. That's where one's will is involved. In other words, and that heart is controlled in a lost person by the devil, the world, and the flesh, Ephesians 2:2-3 speaks about. And that indicates, in other words, if a person acts on it with his will, it indicates a premeditated action. It's not a sin you can commit with a thought or do it ignorantly. And you see, these Pharisees that were there, they knew the word. They heard the witness of Jesus, and they saw his miracles. In fact, they'd seen more than just one. They'd seen many miracles performed as the Lord performed them to vindicate his ministry, that he was sent from God. They were always trying to discredit him and slander him. And the Lord Jesus said those sins could be forgiven. All that you've spoken against me, all you've spoken against the Father, can be forgiven. But not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, whether or not they committed this sin, or whether Jesus was just warning them so that they would not commit the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, I don't know. But I do know that if one commits a sin, there be no pardon for it. He's doomed, because the Bible says, makes it real clear. Now, who can commit this sin? Only the lost can commit this sin. Why? Well, the saved have the Holy Ghost living inside them. They know the work he did in them, and to bring them to salvation, they're acquainted with the Holy Spirit. They've already exercised their will, which is made possible only by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and that enabled them to trust the Lord Jesus as their Lord. And they fellowship with the Lord through the Spirit of God day after day. And the Holy Ghost is the living water that springs up in their well. Jesus said this in John 7:38-39. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he was given on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost dwells in every saint of God. And he's a hidden radar to warn you of sin, and therefore a saved man cannot commit that sin. Only the lost can commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost." This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.